in my prayers this week regarding today's sermon, I told God that I kind of wanted to have a Mother's Day type of sermon. That would be nice. Of course, I couldn't think of anything. All the Mother's Day sermons in the Bible had been taken, so. But really, I don't try to come up with anything anyway because I don't think it would be any good. So I pray about what God wants me to say to his people. And I did kind of thought it would be nice to have a Mother's Day themed kind of sermon. So, but God kept bringing me back to this scripture and this passage and this story in our history in the book of Jeremiah. And it really didn't seem much like a Mother's Day type of sermon. So I thought, well, you know, that's okay. That's not up to me. That's up to God. And there'll be more people here than just moms. So we want to impact as much of people as possible, right? So we're gonna be in Jeremiah chapter 29. If you want to turn there with me. One of my secret desires is, when I became pastor is that at some point I wanted to go to two services. Ta-da! Not exactly how I wanted it to happen. So, you know, we have to pray specifically, right? God, I want Bethel Church Choctaw to grow into two services, but I want them both to be full. But God's teaching me something. He has been teaching me, and it's taken me a while to learn some things, but he's been teaching me something. There's a process that needs to take place. Sometimes things don't like poof and happens. Yeah, I know, right? We are a society of immediateness. We like instant gratification. We want Amazon to deliver it now. We want our technology to operate right now. Anybody remember dial-up internet? Ugh, what a terrible sound that thing made. It was terrible. Slow. Have you ever, and don't raise your hands, volunteer yourself for this, but have you ever found yourself one day getting impatient with your microwave oven? I'll admit one day I caught myself doing that. I'm like, what would I have been doing like 20 years ago? I'd have been firing up the stove. 60 years ago, I'd have been went and got some wood. But we are a society that likes things to happen right now. But some things that God has for us sometimes take a process, takes a little bit of time. You have to wait. You have to hang on. I want to share with you a perfect example. This is the scripture that God began to take me back to this week as I was praying for this sermon, and he kept bringing it back to me. And this is a scripture that most of us love, and it's a great scripture. It really is. It's a fantastic scripture. I love it. It's highlighted in my Bible and has been for a long time. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Ooh, good scripture, right? Mark that one. Highlight it. That's a good one. I like it. And I do. I do. I really like it. And I want to take this scripture and I want to put it in context a little bit. I want to make sure that I understand it really well. So let's read the scriptures around it. But the next scripture, verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. I will be found by you." And it goes on and on. It's just getting better, right? This is fantastic stuff. I love this scripture. I love where this is headed. Let's read the scripture before, get it into context. Verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word." What? Whoa, 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 Lord. I love verse 11. 10, could have done without 10 maybe. 70 years. And it hit me this week when I read that scripture. God took me to that scripture, and I read that this week. And you know what? I've read that scripture several times, all of Jeremiah. And it never dawned on me. 70 years. I get so excited about verse 11 that I don't really realize that verse 10 says, after 70 years have been completed, then... See, there's this process that has to happen. Maybe we don't know why even. Maybe we don't know the reasons, but there's this process. Here's the whole backstory of this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet for Israel. Israel was kind of divided up into two kingdoms at this point, but they're still Israelites. But there's the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom, Judah. Both of them had been taken over and exiled into a place called Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler there, so the Israelites were once again finding themselves in captivity of some sort. It doesn't seem like it was an Egypt as bad as Egypt was, but they were not in their homeland. They found themselves somewhere else, away from home, in captivity. And God tells them this. Start at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there. Do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. They found themselves in a land of captivity. God tells them, wait, hang on. Live your life, stay right there, plan for your future, have babies and have grandbabies. See, because God told Jeremiah, through prophecy in Jeremiah, God told the Israelites at some point that this was going to happen. He also told them that at some point, Judah would not be destroyed if Judah would turn from her wickedness, he says. And at some point, God told Jeremiah to tell his people, submit to Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. And then someday you will be spared, you will be freed, you will come back stronger than ever, and Babylon would fall, never to rise again, which that happened. But first, they were to be peaceful and obedient captives. Now, I realize that God is speaking to the Israelites here. This is a direct instruction from God to the Israelites. But I believe that there's a lesson that we can learn here. I believe there's things that we can learn from our history. And this is our history. This is our God, our Father God, dealing with his children like he deals with us. And there's something that we can learn here. And I think that's very important. There's a process sometimes, whether we understand it or not. Ephesians 6:13, Paul says this, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Sometimes when you've done it all, just stand firm. He says in Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Sometimes wait. Now, I'm applying this to my life as I'm praying about this, and God is talking to me, and you know, I come up with this idea because I know that we're supposed to be Christ-like. And it appears that all of the miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament happened immediately. It also appears that all of the miracles that God works through Jeff Donaldson does not happen immediately. Does that change the value or the truth of God's word? Does that change my faith? Better not, right? My faith is not based on my past, even my spiritual past. That's not where my faith lies. My faith lies in simply what God has spoken over my life and what He's told me. Amen? My priority, regardless of what happens, regardless of where I find myself, Babylon, Egypt, or anything, my priority, so says Jesus Christ in Luke 10:27, love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Now, get this. Like I said, every miracle that Jesus performed was immediate. However, not every work or every move or instruction of Jesus happened immediately. Remember when he first came on the scene and he began to get popular, at first he didn't want the public to know who he was. He didn't want to reveal his identity. He would heal somebody and just don't tell anybody yet. It wasn't time. There was a waiting period. Remember when he promised his disciples the Holy Spirit? Let's read that in Acts 1:4-5. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, and this is Jesus talking, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wait. Now, if the disciples happen to have lived in a society that kind of tends to be immediate like we do, and like I'm sure some of us are guilty of as well, I can imagine one of the disciples speaking up and saying, so you're going to give us the Holy Spirit? And Jesus says, yes. It's going to be good for us. Oh, yes. It's fantastic. It's going to give us power. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a lot of power. So we'll be able to work miracles with this Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, probably can't work them without him. It's going to be amazing. Will we be able to impact lives, hundreds, thousands of lives? Oh, yes, definitely. Then how about you just give it to us now? But Jesus said, wait. Right? Wait. There's a process. Do you know why Jesus said, wait? I don't either. Doesn't matter, does it? There's nothing I can change about it. Wait. Hang on. Sometimes there's a process that needs to happen. Then God asked me a very important question. He said, what prayer request is asked for the most often by moms? And that's an easy one for me. Time and time again, with more passion and desire than anyone else that I know, moms request prayers for their children. Children that may not have a good relationship with the family, or children that may not be having a good relationship with God. That's the most requested thing that I hear from moms. I've been contacted by people that I don't know through the internet or social media that has heard a sermon or saw me online, and they say, will you help me pray for my children? I've been contacted by people that I haven't talked to in over 20 years. Moms that will say, will you pray for my children? And countless mothers in our own church body. Will you help me pray for my children? And I see the tears, and I hear the passion in their voice. I feel the heartache, and it does. It just breaks your heart. Oh, God, I just want them to be happy and to be at peace. And God said, I do too. I'm closer to them than you are. That's my daughter. Think about that. My thought was, how do you think God feels about them? That's their daughter. That's his daughter that's going through this dark time. And sometimes I hear some guilt or shame in it, or questions. I wish I would have done this, or how come I didn't do it this way, or what could I have done? Where did I go wrong? And that's that darkness. And a lot of them repress it so that, because they have to be strong for the family around them. And oftentimes no one knows, even their closest relatives may not know the pain that they feel on the inside because they're praying for their children. And it's not a situation that they have any control of. All you can do is continue to love them and pray for them and give that problem to God. And we can think of a lot of instances in our life where we face stuff like this. Babylon was the same way. Think about this. Babylon is not where God wanted the Israelites. That's not the land that he promised them. He did not hope that the Israelites would wind up in Babylon. That wasn't God's perfect plan. And there's probably many of those Israelites that were there through no fault of their own. There wasn't a whole lot that they could do. They may not have known what kind of land they were in. It was a strange land. They're away from their home. They had a lack of freedom. They didn't know if or when the answer of their troubles would arise, and God told them this: build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the produce, take wives, have children, have grandchildren. He says, hang on. And the answer's coming. Live your life. Prepare for your future. Build a family. Keep going. And he said to pray. Told him to pray and multiply there. And verse 7, I love verse 7. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. King James uses a different word. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. The Hebrew word that is translated into peace or welfare here is the word that most of you have probably heard somewhere, shalom. Shalom means well, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, peace. It's just an overall good word. Even in this captivity, this time of captivity, away from their home, God says, pray for this place and you will be blessed as well. Peace can be found in times of darkness. Because I want you to remember this, sometimes there's an impact on your life, and the only thing that you can control is your response. Someone broke your heart. Maybe you're praying for your children. Things happen. And the only thing that you have control of is your response to that. Will you respond with fear or anxiety or worry? Or will you respond like God says? Pray. Be at peace. Live your life. Hang on. If you're a mom and you worry about your children and their relationship with God or their relationship with you, sometimes the only thing that you can do is continue to love them, pray for them, and give God this situation. Because at this point, only God can fix it anyway. Now, he may give you steps to take in order to help fix it. But sometimes you just have to let God do that. Let God be in control. Because there's good news. Verse 11, come back to that one. I have a plan that I think you are going to like, God said. A plan for you. David wrote in Psalms 27:14, he said, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all comprehension. There is no logic behind it whatsoever. There is no reason that I should feel at peace right now. That means that I have the peace that passes all understanding or is above comprehension. Because it's not my peace. You see, I don't have to create it. I don't have to imagine it or talk it out. I have it. I've been given the peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be at peace. Here's the good news. Even if you're in a Babylon, even if you feel like you're away from your homeland, even if you feel like you may be in some captivity, maybe someone has broken your heart, maybe you're praying for your kids, you've got to hang on. Maybe coronavirus has you freaked out. Maybe your finances has gotten all weird from this. You're going to have to hang on. God says, hang on, I love you. And I want you to be at peace. I want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy, even in Babylon, right? Isn't that exciting? God realizes that your life is going to have some hard days in it. But he says, endure, be happy, and be at peace in whatever land you find yourselves. Live your life. Pray and seek God. Just like he told the people, the Israelites in Babylon, he's telling us in the New Testament today, I want you happy. I want you at peace. God loves you, but he did not promise you an easy life. That's not in the Bible. He promised you an abundant life. That's different. He promised you peace, even in Babylon. He promised you love and joy and hope. With these, with God, live your life. Hang on. Because God has great plans for you. Each one of you individually, he knows how many hairs are on your head. He's got great plans for you. And he loves you, and he wants you happy. Let's get through this. Hang on. You're praying for your children. I'll always love to pray with you on that. But hang on. We'll get through this. God wants you happy. The only thing you can sometimes control is your response. If you would, stand with me, please. And if you're at home, we're going to pray for you, and I want you to join me in this prayer. God, I love being a child of God, and I'm thankful for it, and I don't want to ever take that lightly. And on this wonderful day of Mother's Day, where we celebrate the moms, I ask that you would give them a special blessing today. Show them love like they've never experienced it before. Teach all of us every day a little bit more about how much you love us. What does the agape love look like, the love of God? And caress them and keep them in your care today. And if any of us find ourselves in this place of Babylon. I pray that you will keep us strong so that we can hang on. And in the meantime, continue to live in the peace that you have given to us. And I pray for the mothers specifically online and here in this auditorium, that they each will have a wonderful Mother's Day and feel love from you like never before. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And if you're online, I want you to stay tuned for a little video that's going to help you connect with us. We'd love to talk to you, especially if you've made a commitment or a decision today. And that goes for all of you. We'd love to speak with you, always pray with you, and just feel free to give us a call, text, email at any time. And it's so wonderful to be here with you today. Moms, don't forget your succulent plant as you leave, and we honor you today. We have buckets set up on the way out if you want to give your tithes and your offerings on your way out, and feel free to do that. And with that said, we're also going to start Wednesday night's meeting here, and the youth are going to meet across the street as well. And we're going to continue the two services on Sunday for a while. So we'll let you know if that ever changes. But I love you. Jill and I love you. God loves you more. Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go this week, and you are dismissed.